हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so quality of sadhana bhakti is this. When a person tries to obtain the goal of pure bhakti, sadhya bhava, through utilization of his senses, kriti sadhya, it is called sadhana bhakti. The goal is eternally perfect, nitya siddhasya, but that practice by which it becomes manifest in the heart, Prakatyam Haridi, is called sadhana. Brahma Samhita, Purva Vibhag, second chapter, second verse. Yeah. So in other words, the goal of pure unalloyed devotional service, that's always perfect. But the process to get to that perfection, that's called sadhana bhakti. When you engage your senses for the purpose of developing that pure unalloyed devotion, that's called sadhana bhakti. Types of bhakti. The import here is that the suitable method by which a person is able to absorb his mind in Krishna is called sadhana bhakti or upaya bhakti. The sadhana bhakti is of two types, vaidhi and raganuga. Sadhana bhakti is called vaidhi bhakti when the soul practices devotion to Krishna according to the regulation of scriptures, lacking natural attraction to Krishna. The rules of Vaidhi Bhakti should be practiced by Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, by Brahmacharyas, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. This is glorified in the scriptures. In the Narada Pancharatra, this is also described. Quote, all the activities prescribed in the scriptures to please the Lord are called sadhana bhakti, or upaya bhakti. By that means, para bhakti, or sadhya bhakti, upaya bhakti is obtained, Narada Pancharatra. So in other words, all the activities that the scripture describes, then that is teaching us how to engage in devotional service. So that's sadhana bhakti. By practice of that, then we will get this para bhakti, right? Or sadhya, means you're getting to the goal, like that. So it's very important to note that. So both vaidhi and rag are included in sadhana. So that means then it is described by the scriptures. Right? It's not speculative. Here, then, if we notice the element of spontaneity is that vaidhi means that you're practicing the devotion according to the scriptures, lacking natural attraction. Right? That's what differentiates it. Not that if I don't follow the rules, that's raganuga. No, the point is rag means attraction. So when there's natural attraction, that's raganuga. Right? In other words, as you perform your devotional service, you get a taste for this, you get attracted to Krishna, attached to Krishna. That's raganuga. Does that make sense? That's important. Otherwise, some we'll just say, oh, because you follow the rules, so it's not rag. No, that's not the point. The point is it's whether there's attraction or not. That's what makes the difference. Qualification. Devotees according to faith. So that was the types of bhakti. You know, in the sadhana that we're talking, means you have sadhana bhakti, and that has vaidhi and rag, and you have the ultimate goal, sadhya bhakti. So then you have sadhya, and in sadhana, two parts. So that way you have these three divisions. Qualification. There are three types of people practicing sadhana bhakti. Quote, a faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:64. Right? So in other words, it's faith. Because Rupa Goswami describes that prema is mature faith. Right? So in other words, as the faith increases, then you take up the association of devotees. As the faith increases again, then you take up the practices, though they may be unsteady. As you develop more faith, then you're able to clear the anartas from the heart, and you become steady. As the faith increases, you get a taste. It increases, you get attachment. Increase it like this. Does that make sense? So then, by faith, one can tell whether one's kanistha, madhyama, or uttama. Because right? that's actually what makes it move. That's what makes it work. The meaning of faith, shraddha, is this. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called shraddha. Okay. So in other words, that we're saying, when one is absorbed in service to Krishna, and he has faith, means in other words, his determination is, I'm going to serve Krishna. All the little side things that are so important in material society are taken care of by that. Right? So that is the element. Right? That is your determination of faith. So now if someone has so many material aspects he's dealing with, but he's dealing with them in connection to Krishna and feels that's the perfection of these activities, then we see the faith is greater than someone who is performing those activities because they actually think they're important. Right? Because the point is if you're dealing with a mirage, there's nothing important in the mirage. But because the mirage is important to you, therefore, you deal with it in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. In the beginning, the faith is less because one is distracted by one's material needs in that. So, you know, the social functions, all these different things. Then as the faith increases, then one sees that they only have meaning if they're connected to Krishna. Right? And then the further is, I do devotional service, that's my focus. These side things come along, they're not the big focus. They come along automatically. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took care of his family, but that's not his focus. But he takes care of it very nicely. If you can perform devotional service where you're always attentive to Krishna, always thinking of Krishna, always aware of what's for Krishna's benefit, then it's very easy to be aware of the mundane situation and act properly. Does that make sense? So it's not that, well, there's the material activities and then there's the spiritual. How do I balance? That's true, that we look at it like that. But the reality is what do you mean balance? You know, that's like saying that you could put them on a scale and they'd have some equal meaning. But actually, devotional service is real and the other is illusion. So illusion doesn't weigh anything, you know? Well, devotional service weighs something, it's real. But because we put faith, or we have that commitment to the unreal, therefore we give it weight. And therefore we feel it balances on the scale. Does that make sense? But in any case, to find that balance in connection to Krishna, that is very solid, right? As we were discussing in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that no element is considered, you know, no thought or anything is a bad place to start from. You know, it's finding what's useful in it, keeping that, moving that forward, and what needs to be corrected, adjusting that. So in other words, you find yourself wherever you're at, you start there, deal with it. If one's in illusion, fine. Deal with that illusion in connection to Krishna, then it stops being illusion. Right? So that kind of faith, that's Shraddha. Right? Devotional service like that, that's firm, it's steady, and one is determined, that's Shraddha, that's faith. So how much that determination is, that confidence, how much the firm faith is, how much it's favorable, that's the more development of faith. Right? One's not so confident, you know, it's not so firm faith, then it's a little less. But as it matures by association, by practice, then it becomes deeper and deeper, and that's how you tell advancement. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. You didn't do the smoke today. What happened? Okay.
Instruction be misused?
Can it be misused? Unfortunately, basically, all of them can be misused. Means you always get the, Prabhupada says it's razor's edge. So that means there's a lot of space to the left and right of this razor. You know? So it can be very easily misused in that we use it to establish, generally we would use this against others that they have no faith because they are dealing in material life. You know? Or the previous one, we would misuse by saying that Raganuga means no vaidhi. When the only difference is one is I don't have attachment to Krishna, that attraction, let's say, I think specifically attraction for Krishna, you know, in any great form. A little something's there, otherwise why are we devotees? But in a great form, so therefore I follow the rules and regulations because I know that pleases Krishna. Right? So the purpose is the same. Well, Raganuga will be, I like doing this service to Krishna, and I'm doing it to please him. So what will I do? I will follow those things that the Shastra says. So because it's coming from attraction to the devotional service, it's called Raganuga. When it's coming from the desire to progress through following the Shastra, that's called Vaidhi. But the two follow the same rules. This is the problem is that it's an overlap, but it's just a matter of how you use it. You know, it's like you have one knife, the criminal uses it one way, you know, and someone who's a craftsman with a knife uses it a different way. But it's the same knife. But it's somehow or another difficult to comprehend that when we're dealing with the philosophy in that, philosophy in the culture. We tend to not understand these overlaps. It's this or that. It's black and white. So that makes it a difficulty is that all these things can be easily misused. That's why there's so much study on it to the point where one understands it so one can apply it properly. That's why it means we emphasize these things more, the proper understanding and all those things. Because memorization, you can memorize something, but you can still use it wrong, like that. Even you get practice at this, you can still make a mistake. But the point is that the idea is this faith means that you are fixed in that everything should be connected to Krishna. Right? Everything should be or everything is. So like that, then it moves on. Right? And if one doesn't understand everything is connected or should be, then it means it's less than that. But if there's some connection to Krishna, then that's a beginning. That works. That's where you start from. Is that okay? Yeah. All these, it's always... That's why you see certain things he emphasizes a lot, because it can be used. Otherwise, right now he's opening, just mentioning the things. Then after that, yeah, he goes on for quite a while defining Shraddha. Because qualification, types of bhakti, that's straight, but defining Shraddha, now he's taking 2 pages to do that. Okay, that was Madhya Lila. So now he continues. To have firm faith that devotion to Krishna is the only means for the jiva, and that attempts at karma and jnana devoid of devotion are useless, such a favorable inclination of the heart is called faith or Shraddha. Right? So means devotional service is the only thing for the living entity to do, and karma and jnana not connected to Krishna is useless. That's faith. If one has idea that something other than devotional service is also useful or practical, that means the faith is less. Does that make sense? If a person's faith is deep and unshakable, he is called an Uttama Adhikari. One whose faith is moderately firm is called a Madhyama Adhikari. A person who has no firm faith, such that he has danger of changing faith due to opposing arguments, is called a Kanishta Adhikari. There are two types of Kanishtas: those whose faith is mixed with karma and jnana, and those whose faith is free from karma and jnana. Those free from karma and jnana can attain the Uttama level through devotion association. Those whose faith is mixed with karma and jnana progress only with great difficulty and the very strong mercy of devotees. Concerning the mixed faith of a Kanista, Srila Rupa Goswami has written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, quote, "A person who has only tender faith has a slight tendency to karma." Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Purva Vibhag 2.186. People of tender faith perform bhakti by means of the Varnashram system, an offering of the results of their work, karmarpana. Their bhakti is not real bhakti, but a semblance of bhakti, bhaktyabhas. Their chanting Hare Krishna is called Shadow Namabhas, Chaya Namabhas. If the bhakti harbors material desires or desires for liberation, it is called Pratibimba Namabhas. In that case, such persons are called Karmis Ajnanis, but not Bhaktas. The Kanishta Adhikari offering the result of his work or knowledge to Krishna, Karma Jnana Arpana, without any desire other than to please Krishna, Anyabhilasita Shunya, is called Vaishnava Abhas, or Vaishnava Praya, almost a Vaishnava. Right, so he's making these subtle distinctions here for use for ourselves. Otherwise, these things can be used very nicely against others in very nice, very broad terms, you know? Because these points are very fine. Means so they follow Varnashram, offering the results of their work, right? So that will be less than someone who the result is already Krishna's, right? Like Krishna says that surrender to him, that's the best. If not, follow the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, right? If you can't do that, then offer the results to him, right? Work for him, actually. So that will be Nishkam Karma Yoga. If you can't do that, then offer the results, Sakam Karma Yoga. So that's what's mentioned here. Like that. And then below that is just they're pious. They're nice. They like devotional service and that. So in one sense we call them devotees. You go to their house, they're favorable to Krishna, but all they do all day is serve. So that's what is being talked about here. Right. And many of the time they have a lot of faith in karma itself or in jnana, you know, liberation, these things. So technically they're not really devotees. Right? Because they're here, they're in this. If they're offering the results, then it's Bhaktiabhas. But if it's not, then it's Chaya Namabhas, right? Oh no, Chaya Namabhas is the name. Then it's Pratibimba Namabhas, because there's the material desires is the prominent, right? So then one is their main thing is they're trying to do service to Krishna by offering these things, right? So then that is the semblance. But if it's actually the getting the results and all, that's more important, that kind of activity, then it's even just a reflection of that. You know what I'm saying? So then, yeah. Okay, now someone who's giving everything and their whole point is just to please Krishna, then that's called Vaishnava Bhas, right? Or almost a Vaishnava, right? Because this point is very... See, this point becomes very important. It's basically, its purpose is two things. One, it's so that, I'm not sure if it's here mentioned or it's in some other place mentioned, where that because of this, then the Madhyamas will give association to the Kanistas. Because if the kanistas are a write-off, like is mentioned up here, you know, Bhakti Abbas, then they might not associate with them. Because they're just too materialistically inclined. So to get them to associate, then that's important. In other words, they're classified with the devotees rather than not. Then they'll get the association. Because otherwise, how do you get from the kanista to the Madhyama platform without the association? Because it's said here as only by with great difficulty and strong mercy. Because if your faith is mixed with karma and jnana, it's not that your activities are, it's your faith is. You actually have faith that the karma and the jnana is going to do something for you. If you understand it's not going to do anything for you, but by habit you're accustomed to that, therefore you give the results of that to Krishna, then that is this Vaishnava Praya. Right? But if you don't, you actually have faith that the karma and the jnana are going to do some benefit for you, then technically it's a reflection of a reflection. It's pratibimba namabhas. It's not really anything very solid. Right? It's pious, it's nice, it kind of looks like devotional service, but it's not really solid. But so that the madhyamas can identify this and then help them come up, that's what it's for. Right? The other thing, so in other words, it's for the madhyamas to use on others, which means for helping. Or the other thing is it's for the neophytes, or the kanistas, to use on themselves. In other words, I shouldn't be sitting here and ranting and raving so much because I'm not actually that much of a devotee. So I shouldn't be judging others, I shouldn't be doing so much where, you know, making so many kind of activities that are not necessarily, you know, rocking the boat for, you know, betterment of the world, because technically it's not very important. These guys are taking off. I wonder if that means they're coming back or if they're heading off. Yeah, but they might come back, but it might be, because a lot of times you just sit there. Oh no, they'll come back. Because it seems the queen's not going, so they're sitting there. Right? Does that make sense? The misuse is where the neophyte uses this on other neophytes. That's a problem. Or because they can't understand actually the difference between engaging in with connection with Varnashram, between Sakam and Nishkam, therefore they can even consider Madhyamas as neophytes. Right? And it's because Uttamas will act as Madhyamas, they can also throw them into the pile. That can be the misuse. So this is meant for them to understand I'm not so special as I think I am. Right? Like that. Once I was told, I forget where it was. It was somebody from Peru. And there's some place in Peru, I think called Cusco or something like that. And they're very famous for their attitude and everything. So the local joke is, if you take a man from this region, and it means you can set up a fabulous business, you know, very lucrative business. If you take a man from that region and you sell him for what he thinks he's worth, but you buy him for what he's actually worth, you know, then you can make really good profit there. You know, because the distance between the two is very great. Like that. So it's kind of like the same kind of thing, is they can't tell the difference. And because of this, then they become so critical, they become so proud, they expect a lot of facility to come for what service they've rendered, they should get great return, right? Because that's karma. Like that, or because they perform devotional service, they used to be freed from all material miseries coming from jnana. So these kind of things will be big stumbling blocks. It says here, make progress only with great difficulty and the very strong mercy of devotees. Right, so the devotees preach a lot. So because the Madhyamas know this, therefore then they'll put in the time and energy. Right? But that requires then submission. If they behave nicely, then one can work properly. If somebody doesn't behave, how do you actually deal with them? How do you benefit them? Because their pride will get in the way. Is that okay? Yeah. Bhakti is devoid of cultivation of jnana and vairagya and desire for mukti. When Ramananda was defining sadhana bhakti, Mahaprabhu gave the answer, "This is external. Please say more." That was because this Ramananda was speaking of the Vaishnava Praya, on the stage of tender faith. Later when Mahaprabhu replied, "This is correct, please say more," Ramananda had begun to discuss pure bhakti. Quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave a description of the devotee with firm faith who rejects jnana. Quote, "To attempt to understand the Lord by the ascending process, through knowledge gained by the material senses, is called ashrauta. But Krishna is not obtainable by mind, words, and body. The devotee thus gives up the path of logic through observation of temporary eternal external objects by the temporary senses, and hears from the mouth of the devotees devoid of the four defects of illusion, inattention, cheating, and limited senses, and with direct realization of the truth. He serves by hearing about and glorifying Krishna with faith. Devoid of all false ego, he dedicates his whole life, body, mind, and words to hearing and chanting the authorized message of bhakti. Though unconquerable, the Lord becomes known and controlled by prema bhakti of this devotee, whatever status he occupies in the three worlds." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. So it's always important to note that these things come in, together, the explanation. Here he says, thus gives up the path of logic through observation of temporal external objects by the temporary senses. So devotees may think, see, it would give up the path of logic. That's giving up jnana. No, that you're using logic through your senses, that's how you're working it out. No, if you've heard from Shastra, then you're using your logic to try to apply it to the senses. That's devotional. But if it's just you're observing things and then from that trying to, like that, it's the opposite. That's why there's a difference in flavor between the same object that's based on a principle of Shastra, then applying it to practical time, place, and circumstance, or starting from a technique that has come from observation only. It hasn't come from shabda, and is therefore, then you're trying to engage that. There'll be a different flavor, because one is jnana and one is bhakti. Of course, the jnana can be engaged, but the point is you have to be able to bring its flavor to the devotional element. Otherwise, one has faith in this because it's jnana. This person is very intelligent. He's written a book. It's sold millions of copies. It's translated into 25 different languages. So this must be good. Right? But the point is why would it be good? Right? You have some materialist who's observing material energy and coming up with some idea. Why should it be good? Therefore, the use of that will carry the flavor of that jnana or karma. And it will not actually be pleasing to devotees who are serious. But if it's the element of that, as we were discussing before, is why would it work? Because there's eternal principles that Krishna's given, and he's observed those only. He doesn't know it, but we know it. Therefore, there'll be elements of what he's saying. The principles of it will be useful, because they're actually Krishna's principles. Some of the detail he applies it in will be useful because that's where he directly observed it from. And some of his application into other aspects may actually work because he's actually matched the detail to the principle. But because he's seeing it as a complete philosophy, it will fall short in so many examples because they don't really fit. He's just speculating and trying to make them fit, but they don't actually fit. Because he saw something at work, then from there he speculates and tries to apply it in others' lives. It might or might not work. because he himself has not actually realized the principle. Like that. The more they have understanding, the better it works, but there'll be a limit. So, but it's still not devotional service. Does that make sense? So it's a fine thing that why something has one fragrance and why something has another. So when we hear it in the karmic yan, we're used to that, then we immediately say, oh, here's some practical thing. But if we hear it through the shastra, then it's always, oh, that's philosophy. But the point is tattva is simply what's going on. There's God, he expands, he creates the world. That's pretty practical, right? He creates the material nature, he breaks it apart, the pradhan into the 24 elements, the modes of nature control that, everything's going on by the modes of nature's, basically these three things of the the false ego, the intelligence, and the mind and senses, right? And so even those are, the false ego's ignorance, the intelligent is passion, the mind is goodness. Right? And so therefore, then, from that, we get the adiatmic, adidaivic, adibhautic kleshas, and all these different things. So, it's pretty practical. So, why is this just theory? That's lack of faith. When it's understood that this is real, this is what makes things work, that's faith, that's firm faith. Then, you try to apply it. You may be good at it, may not be good at it. That's not the consideration of faith. Your expertise at applying it doesn't necessarily define faith. Your commitment to it, that defines faith. You know what I'm saying? That's why one is not proud of one's previous qualifications, because by that, one may be very expert at moving material energy. He can do it very easily. But he may have faith in that material energy and in himself that he can, that's what's the value. Well, the other person may not have that faith in themselves, but they have faith in the process, so it's not very expert. Right? That makes sense? Like that. So one has to be very, very careful. Now, if one is materially capable and he has faith in the devotional process, he'll be the most expert at using, engaging material energy in the Lord's service. Right? Because he has faith in the process given by Shastra, and he's expert at working the details. So that'll be very dynamic. But in any case, it doesn't matter, because for Krishna, it's the endeavor. Devotionally, they'll get the same result, but the medium through which it's done, one is through success and one is through a lot of hard work. Does that make sense? So Krishna is pleased. If you're so expert, you should do something special. If you're not so expert, you should just make that sincere endeavor. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is there anything? Any question? Too early? No? No? Okay. Okay. See, also in here, is because we're looking at it from this side, but remember is that it's being explained so that we understand the connection from the other side. Because if you're looking at pure, unalloyed devotional service, right, then pure devotional service is a step down, right? And then below that is then the neophyte. But the point is why is this being explained? Because this is a treatise for those who are new, so that everybody understands. So that's who you're preaching. Generally means you're discussing with those persons, right? You preach to those persons. You train those who have taken up the process. Does that make sense? Right? So all this study and that, like we're doing, that's meant for those who are committed. But someone who is not committed, who is engaged in material activities, you preach to them to take up the process. Yes?
Is rasa, rasika relationship with Krishna, something we should strive and pray for? Or isn't it something which will be revealed in its due course, in its own course of time, when we are ready for it?
Basically,
I'm trying to understand, because there's so much talk and so many seminars and so much, twisting the mind going on about how we should see ourselves in our relationship with Krishna. Isn't that we should just focus on our service and Krishna will reveal himself in due course of time?
Yeah, there was one place. Oh, yeah. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith favorable to this charge of devotional service is called Shraddha. So this element of automatically is very important. In other words, what we're praying for is pure, unalloyed devotion. That we want to be able to serve Krishna from that standard, rather than from our own standard of, you know, mixed devotional kind of like platform. These other things, those will come automatically. And when they come, they're not something you talk about. You know what I'm saying? It's not a discussion anyway. So you shouldn't hear so much about it. You know what I say? Yes, to quote Vivekananda, then. Those who know don't speak, and those who speak don't know. You know, that kind of a thing, you know, on the list. That way then, Ramakrishna looked pretty good. Because he didn't speak. Right, so. It's a fine point, because the general point is if you your goal is pure unalloyed devotional service. So therefore you engage your senses in the process, you know, to please Krishna. Like that. So now, what are the details of pure unalloyed devotional service? That there's so many detail. Like that. We may see more of the fine points that'll come along when we get to the last section, which will be on the goal, prayojana. This one is on Abhideya, so then. It's not as important. It means, in other words, making people aware of their position isn't as important as making them aware that they're not this body and that they're the soul. Because most of our difficulties are because of not understanding that, not because we don't understand who we are specifically in the spiritual world. Right? Because basically, once one is liberated, that makes sense, because one's off the conditioned platform, one is on his constitutional platform, then naturally that position will be revealed. But it's not an uncommon thing that someone on the Madhyama platform has a concept of that, but that's not his prayer to be necessarily perfect in that, it's to be perfect in devotional service. That position will be taken up. Right? Like it said, Brahma, when he, you know, then had received the Kama Gayatri, and then it was revealed to him all about Krishna, right? Then it said that he understood, you know, in general, his position in the spiritual world, but not detail. You know what I'm saying? One knows, okay, he understood he's a maidservant of Krishna. But that's where it stops. He doesn't know, you know, who he is in Braj, what his name is, whose daughter he is, what their service is, you know, what specific, you know, form they have, what clothes they wear, what group they're in. That he doesn't know. Those are details. But he understands, I'm a maidservant. And so that doesn't change your devotional service. It's still the same process. You know?
So if that's Brahma, then what about us?
Yeah. So, but the principle is that it can happen from that stage, but it's never mentioned that it happens from the neophyte stage, because the Kanista means he has basically faith in karma and jnana. Right? So how would that mean anything anyway? You know? So it doesn't really matter. You tell the 3-year-old that you know when you get big you're going to get married, and you know, see that girl over there, we're going to get you married to her, and you're going to have a big family, and you know, you're going to become, you know, do this and that, and it's kind of like, nice, where's mommy? You know, it's like, it doesn't mean anything, but it's nice to talk about. It sounds good, but then stories are also nice, so stick to the stories and don't talk as much about this. the technicalities of devotional service, how to get to that point, how to differentiate between the Chaya Nama Bas and the Pratibimba Nama Bas. That's important, so you know whether it is progressive or whether you're just being absorbed in material activities and you're going to stay there for a long time. Those kind of things, the technicalities are fine, but it's so that one progresses and to be able to understand that rag means that there's an attraction to Krishna and that's stable. Not just when you hear about it, that's great, and then you stop. So that anybody is. That's why association is important. Somebody tells stories about Krishna, that's why you read Krishna book, and then you're attracted to Krishna. And then when you put the book down, then it's like, okay, you know, where's this and that, and, you know, who took my toothbrush, and, you know, stuff like that. Then we're back to, you know, reality, you know. But when that is the impetus of your service, that's called rag. But the point is, you won't see it. You know? That's the whole point. You know, the girl has a boyfriend, you don't hear about it. Right? She's not out there just telling everybody and this and that. Well, you know, there are girls who do that, but we have specific names for them. But, you know, the properly trained girls, they don't talk about it. Right? And so they'll do the same thing as everybody else. In fact, they'll do it better because now they have some motive. So they'll follow the Vaidhi better. So one who's actually following Raganuga, you'll think he's more of a Vaidhi Sadhaka than someone who is a Vaidhi Sadhaka. Like that. But by how they speak, how they act, how they deal with devotees, that's where you tell the difference. They have a taste for chanting. They like the association of devotees. They deal properly with devotees. That's where you start to get. They're stable, steady. You don't see them getting all mental. Then you can start to tell this person's a madhyama, right? And then you might be able to tell that there's a rag aspect, but you can't say for sure. Like that, you can't say because it shouldn't be that. It is able to be said like that. It's not something for public discussion. Like that, like you see is in public. More, in a more mixed group, the teenage girls will talk about boys, right? But married women, when they're in this big group, they don't. So that should say something, right? They have men, they don't talk about it. Because it's not an excitement just like this, it's a reality. You know, so those who are on the transcendental platform, that's normal for them. That's the reality. They don't talk about it like it's some cheap trick. But those who it's new to them and that, they talk about it more. Because it's something that's also ways to tell difference. So there's many, many fine points. It's one has to be very careful in judging it, but the general principle is not a common thing of public discussion. Open discussion, you know, like that. Is that...
Anything else?
Yes, okay. 5 minutes early, good.
If the Kanishka Vikari who offers his results of karma jnana to Krishna without any desire to please Krishna...
That's progressive.
Yeah, but why he is still engaged in karma jnana if he has no other desire to...
It's called habit.
But if the karma jnana is connected to Krishna, can it be called bhakti? Like?
Yes, it's karma yoga and jnana yoga. See, the thing is we use all these things, but he's trying to put them in proportion, in perspective. Is that karma yoga is recommended. Gita is talking about karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, that combination of that buddhi yoga. But it also must be put in perspective, connected to pure unalloyed devotional service, because that's the goal. Because otherwise, that's one bird running away from another bird. is you have to know what pure unalloyed devotional service is and what its stature is. Then, the other aspects of engaging the senses in the Lord's service, Lusadana Bhakti, what is actually the prominent motive? What are you trying to get from it? What's your purpose? That makes the difference. Otherwise, sadhana bhakti doesn't look any difference whether one's a very unstable neophyte, one's a fixed neophyte, or one's a madhyama. It doesn't look any different. Or if it's an uttama come down to the madhyama platform, it won't look different. It's sadhana bhakti still. So you have to be able to tell us where the faith is. You know, what is their motive? What do they need? You know? Does that make sense? Someone who comes means artha artharthi jigyasu. There's every chance they can go away very easily, so they're not very well situated. Right? But the jnani, someone who wants to know Krishna and please Krishna, that person will be fixed. He'll move forward nicely. But the others, if in good association they're very happy, then it's nice. But as soon as they're not happy, they become an anxiety again. They don't have any facility. Right? Does that make sense?
When it says that he has no other desire but to please Krishna, that means that this motive is dominating.
It's dominating, but it doesn't mean that other things aren't there. You know, it's just like you want to, you know, how you say, you want to, it's Janmashtami, you want to chant 64 rounds, you want to fast all day, you want to do all that. But maybe you can do it, maybe you can't. You know what I'm saying? But your motive is to do that, therefore that's considered progressive. You know, but the one who says, oh, it's fanatic to, you know, chant so much or that, you know, back in, you know, how you say, you know, whatever it was, I think it was, 1066, you know, and the Battle of Hastings, then Prabhupada, Janmashtami, then, you know, they had offerings every half an hour and the devotees would just eat them all day. So, you know, that's the standard, you know, stuff like that. That person then has a little bit of a problem. That they're basing it on what Prabhupada did, that's nice. And so it's not technically wrong. But the thing is after that, you know, after, you know, how you say, you know, the Normans conquered England, then there was, Prabhupada did bring out other standards of fasting all day. You know what I'm saying? And making the offerings and not eating them till, you know, after midnight or the next day, depending upon, you know, what was the nature of them. Does that make sense? So like that is, that way then you can tell something. Okay? Now this is better, see? You ask the question, then it gets answered before the bell rings. So that was very good today.
It's progressive.
Huh?
It's progressive.
Yeah, it's progressive, yes. From not asking the question to asking it at the end of the class to asking it a little before. See, so this is direct example of the process working. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow with this. Now he's going to get into bhukti and mukti. In other words, sense gratification and liberation. He calls it, Rupa Goswami calls it, the witches of bhukti and mukti.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.